And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is making the world a better place. Each of my guests is explaining how to make the world a better place. My next guest is a professor of law at Vanderbilt University. She wants to awaken American Christians to search for leaders who embrace moral Christian values and who can make moral policy decisions. We'll discuss her book, Be the People. And if you want to join in the conversation or ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. And you'll want to use that number right now to be the third caller. I'll accept the third caller for two sandwiches or two salads from Urbane Cafe, two locations to serve you, one here in Ventura at 4350 Telephone Road in the Barnes & Noble Plaza. The other is in Oxnard at 1730 East Gonzales, the intersection of Rose and Gonzales in Oxnard. I'll take the third caller, 639-0008. My next guest, Carol Swain, is passionate about empowering others to confidently raise their conservative voices in the public square. She's had an interesting life. She's traveled from high school dropout and teenage mother to an esteemed Vanderbilt University law professor. Carol's voice for conservative causes is expressed among a variety of popular media. She's been a frequent guest on Hannity's show, Fox News. She's a regular on CNN's Lou Dobbs show. She's also appeared on the BBC, CNN, NPR. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Her opinion pieces have been published by the Huffington Post, interestingly enough, New York Times, Washington Post, all of the major periodicals that you can think of. Carol is a member of the Tennessee Advisory Committee to the U.S. Civil Rights Commission and serves on the advisory board of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Before joining Vanderbilt way back in 1999, Dr. Swain was a tenured associate professor of politics and public policy at Princeton University's Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs. She's also a foundation member of the Virginia chapter of Beta Kappa. Welcome to the show, Carol. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you on, and it's our pleasure to talk to you about your beliefs on this. And let's get right to the heart of it, because you say that America was founded on certain principles: truth, justice, the value of life, the pursuit of freedom. How have these principles been subverted today?
Well, I think that for a variety of reasons, a lot of Americans are not aware, or they've become distant from the civic education that would familiarize them with the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And I think part of the problem is that people are busy trying to make a living, and they have given up too much power to people I refer in the book as cultural elites. And these are people, many of them are secular humanists and atheists who certainly don't fear God, but they have taken it up on themselves to sort of set the standards of right and wrong. And morally, I believe that they are moving the nation in the wrong direction, and behind many of the public policies that are pushed upon the people, there's a lot of deception.
Well, give us some examples of the deception of policies that are being thrust upon us right now, Carol.
Well, one of the ones that many people are familiar with morally would be the issue of abortion. For decades, people argued that we didn't know when life began, and people have argued that the unborn child was not a human life. And then the technological advances that have reached the point where you can see the facial features of the unborn, you can see the unborn performing acrobatics in the womb, that has sort of undercut that. So now we've reached the point that a majority of Americans are calling themselves pro-life. I think that is a deception, that we didn't know when life began. It is a deception that we can't control immigration. And there the deception comes from the fact that we have policymakers that are not committed to the rule of law. We have laws that could be enforced that no one ever tried to enforce, and that's an area where we could get a handle on. We have people that argue that we don't know what a family is, that there's no such thing as a family. And so these people would discount the traditional family where you would have a heterosexual male, female, and their biological offspring. There are those that would argue that the family is no longer relevant. throughout centuries, we have always known and believed that the family was the backbone of civilization. If you destroy the family, you eventually destroy the civilization.
All right. Now, these are all very good points. My guest is Carol Swain, author of the new book, Be the People, A Call to Reclaim America's Faith and Promise. Carol, I want to come back. There's so much to talk about in each one of those answers. But let's start with abortion, and we'll just take them in the order that you presented them. With abortion, Roe versus Wade, which was the ruling in the Supreme Court that allowed for abortions to become legal and offer them in the United States, that was passed back in 1973 is when that ruling came down. Certainly, science has advanced since 1973 to where we are today, not only with ultrasounds, but also genetics and DNA testing and all of that sort of thing. The question is, before you is, though, is as a person who is a member of the legal community, we in the United States have a way of overturning even a Supreme Court ruling. No Supreme Court ruling is cast in stone. All we need to do is have Congress override that, and we have a new law, and we can get beyond that. So my question to you is this. Given the framework that our founding fathers put together to have checks and balances, if the technology has changed and if enough people, as you say, are pro-life, then why haven't we gone about changing or overturning Roe v. Wade?
I think it's the difficulty lies with a lot of the politicians we have placed in office, and the lobbyists have enormous power, and so the pro-abortion movement, a lot of those, certainly they have the Democratic incumbents captured in a way that they're not likely to vote against it, and there are many, quote, progressive Republican women who like the choice also. And I think that the American people need to stand up and be the people, hold our politicians accountable, and if this is an issue that matters to you and you feel called to make a change, and you think about the long-term consequences of the nation, of our living in a country where so many unborn babies have been aborted. And in the black community, there are cities and where there are more babies being aborted than are being born. The placement of Planned Parenthood clinics in minority neighborhoods, if it were being done, you know, by Republicans, Democrats would call it genocide. But because it's being done by Democrats and being done by organizations that Democrats support, they turn a blind eye to it, even though these abortions are made so readily available to people that they're not always equipped to make wise and intelligent choices, and there could be other means of support, such as pregnancy crisis centers that I talk about in my abortion chapter. These not only offer choices to women, but they offer support sometimes up to a year or longer after the child is born. If it were not for so much money going into Planned Parenthood and organizations that sponsor abortion, I believe the pregnancy crisis centers would be better financed.
Well, that is an interesting speculation on your part. My guest is Carol Swain. So, Carol, let's talk about the hijacking, the political hijacking of sides that you referred to in that answer. You say that it predominantly, and I certainly don't want to stereotype, but predominantly Democrats are pro-abortion and Republicans, and even some female Republicans might be pro-abortion, but the vast majority of the Republicans are against it. It's interesting to me how that issue has been hijacked over the years, because if you go back historically to the 50s and 60s, actually it was the reverse. The Republicans were the ones who were pro-abortion, and the Democrats were anti-abortion. When did we have this cultural shift along party politic lines where it actually flipped over and reversed itself from the 50s and the 60s?
Well, one of the major PACs for Democratic that helped elect Democratic women to Congress and other places of power is called Emily's List. And so there are many organizations like Emily's List that are focused on women's issues, and they call it reproductive choice. And that becomes an issue that people are willing to pour their money into it and not support a candidate that runs on the Democratic ticket as pro-life. And that has gradually led to a situation where if a candidate that would be a Democrat would run pro-life, you know, then they're not going to receive the kind of support that they would receive in the Republican Party. Now, in the 70s, there was Lindy Boggs in Congress from Louisiana, and she was strong Catholic, always pro-life. Candidates like Lindy Boggs in the Democratic Party, they have become fewer and fewer. And so I think that more and more women entering politics, which has been positive in a lot of ways, has led that to become an issue that differentiates the political parties for the most part.
My guest is Carol Swain. Her book is Be the People. Carol, let's move on to the next issue on the list, which was immigration. Talk to me about immigration and our immigration policies. How have those been hijacked over the years?
Well, immigration is an issue that I've studied and written about before Be the People. But the biggest concern there is that we have a country that over the past few years, for the Democratic Party, of course, it's well known that they are looking to the new immigrants as future Democrats, whereas in the past, Republicans have been very focused on the cheap labor. And we've reached a situation where we've had decades of non-enforcement of our immigration laws or half-hearted enforcement to the point that many people who are in this country illegally, they feel not only entitled to stay, but entitled, you know, to all the benefits and that come to people that are American citizens. And that not only undermines the rule of law, but it directly impacts Americans that are low-wage, low-skill workers because they're competing for jobs in the same job sector. We also have, through the immigration laws that some of them don't make a lot of sense, we have visa programs that bring in workers that we really don't need that compete with American workers. And the whole situation does need reform. There's no reason why Congress would be reluctant to do that other than the fact that they're not sure what they want to do because, again, the Democrats don't want to alienate their constituencies or what they see as their future constituents, and Republicans at times have been ambivalent because of the cheap labor. In the meantime, the American people suffer.
All right. My guest is Dr. Carol Swain. And Carol, isn't this, you're a conservative, so doesn't this really boil down to a federal rights versus a state's rights issue? We have a federal immigration policy, which, as you correctly stated, is not being enforced. You have a state like Arizona and now more recently Georgia that wants to enforce their own state immigration laws, which is modeled after the U.S. immigration law in many ways. And just they want to put teeth to it rather than just have it be a toothless law that's out there. But doesn't this really boil down to federal versus state rights, and where do you fall on that discussion?
And that's interesting because when you say states' rights, immediately that conjures up images of the old South and segregation and racism when the Constitution clearly put in place a federal system where the states are supposed to have the ability to enact laws. In fact, the federal government was never meant to be the most dominant branch. Because the federal government has not been active in the area of immigration, states and cities around the country have enacted laws that may or may not be constitutional that deal with immigration. And the Supreme Court has upheld some of those laws. For example, the states passing the E-Verify program where all employers have to check the Social Security numbers of applicants to see whether or not they are legally entitled to work in the country. The Supreme Court has upheld those laws, and it's not clear whether or not when the court does rule on the Arizona case, if it takes that case and rules on it, whether or not it will uphold the law, but there's a good chance that it will. And these state laws are coming about because the federal government has not taken a leadership role as far as addressing the problems that cities, states, and localities face with the huge influx of undocumented people.
My guest is Carol Swain. She's a professor at Vanderbilt University School of Law. So we've talked about the problems, Carol. Let's get to some of the solutions. Give us some things that we can do today that you recommend in your book that we should start doing to recapture our power as the populace.
Well, one of the way the book is set up, each chapter ends with action points, and there's a chapter that talks about the historical founding of the nation and deals with the issues that have to do with separation of church and state, chapter on abortion, the family, immigration, and race. And those action points, some of them are more difficult than others, but there's always something that people can do from their homes that's not complicated. I think the first thing people need to do is to arm themselves with information. And the basic information that we need to reacquaint ourselves with is who we are as a people. And that comes, I believe, from going back to those foundational documents, reading the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and understanding the Bill of Rights. And in the book, which is addressed as its primary audience to believers in the Judeo-Christian God, I recommend that we go back and reread the Ten Commandments and take the biblical injunction seriously, because I believe there are consequences when we, as Christians, support a government that follows a course that's just totally opposite to what we believe is true and the kind of nation we want to live in. And so a large part of the book is a call to we the people in the preamble of the Constitution to stand up and be the people and take responsibility for the government we have. If you don't agree with it, you have the power to change it. There's a mechanism in process for people to, we elect the politicians, they enact programs and policies supposedly on our behalf, we can hold them accountable. Doesn't mean we have to go out and get all the information. There are organizations like the Family Research Council, Eagle Forum. Every state pretty much has some kind of organization that's conservative that collects information about what politicians are doing, how they're voting. We can use that information. And we can also get our news from more than one source and not just take people at face value at what they say, because politicians are skillful at deceiving us, and we need to be aware that they have their agendas. It may not be the same as what's in our interest.
Absolutely, and I like what you say about we have to recapture our government. Certainly paramount in that, Carol, is we have to get out and vote. We've got an election coming up soon for president in the United States and some other key offices. Get out and vote. And also, I like what you have to say in your book about know who your congressperson is and contact your congressperson. So I think that's sound, sage advice. My guest has been Dr. Carol Swain, author of the book, Be the People, A Call to Reclaim America's Faith and Promise. Carol, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book?
That they have a lot of power, and that they should not just immediately assume that a person that has advanced degrees or in a position of power, that these people are somehow wiser. They need to realize that people can be intellectuals and still not have common sense. And I would encourage people to run for office, to become involved in campaigns, and to write letters to the editor, make phone calls, to pray. There's a lot of ways that one can participate in change. And what we need to do is change this nation. It is embarked on the wrong course. And so everyone should realize that they should not think of themselves as a lone individual. If we all get involved, the impact of so many individuals getting involved for change will have a massive collective outcome that can change this nation.
My guest has been Dr. Carol Swain, author of the book, Be the People. Carol, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, I have a website that's carolmswain.net or .com. It's all one word, carolmswain.com. And the book can be purchased on Amazon or at any major bookstore.
Including our own Bank of Books right here in Ventura. Two locations to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street. Carol, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being our special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.